Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast, with our premiere show tonight, The Attic. And before we even get started, I'm going to work on shortening that intro music. You know, being I'm sitting here listening to that music. I'm like, come on, let me get in. So I'm thinking about shortening our intro music. But hey, when I say I got my family with me, it's a family affair. Oh, that's what it is. Every week I've got different family members joining our podcast. This evening, you got your original class, and we got Rob back with us, Brother Rob back with us tonight. And we have another new member, G1, coming out of South Kakalaki with us tonight.
Hey.
Everybody, let's say hello and let's get the show started. G1, how you doing tonight? G1, after that big intro, say something. Maybe not. Brother Rob,
hey.
How you doing tonight? Oh, are you on like one of them South Carolina 5-minute delays on everything?
Yeah. I accidentally hit the mute button. I'm here.
Oh,
how y'all
okay.
doing?
I thought you was on that South Carolina pace. I said, come on, I'll come back up to Jersey just for 60 minutes with us.
I'm back.
All right. Brother Ron, how you doing tonight?
Everything good. Can't complain. Can't complain.
All right. Baby sis, how you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Brother Messenger?
Less than usual, my brother.
Oh, I should have had my music in the band with the drum roll and the smashing cymbals and hi-hats. Baby boy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, except for somebody sound like they doing dishes. I don't know who's
not
trying
me.
To clean up this time of night.
Well,
maybe somebody making them a sandwich.
I know a couple of people. We could probably just X right out of that hole, clean it up this time of night, and I'd be the first one to be in line. I wouldn't want to be trying to clean up it with high noon. But anyway, I'm just joking with your audience. I don't really live like a real pig. But if you had a play pig, I'd probably fit into that. Hey, but listen, we got a good show tonight. The radio, they messed up our connection on our normal Showtime Wednesday night, but we said nothing going to stop us having a good time. Tonight's topics. Yeah, one of my listeners emailed me and says, why do you always say topic? And y'all just talk about what y'all talk about. I said, this is true, but we try to give the appearance of having some kind of order. But, you know, we could be in the middle of talking about a missile launch And if something better comes up, we'll get back to that mister later, and we talk about what we talk about. Tonight, we want to talk about a subject, again, and we the phone lines are open. Please feel free to call in. Should we just decriminalize cannabis? And when I say decriminalize it, this is what I'm talking about. Should I be able to go out of my house, go down to the store, buy me a bag of weed? And again, we can give it medical terms since we want to try to be inclusive, but let's talk about it like it is. Should I be able to go down to the corner store, buy me a bag of weed, maybe smoke it like a cigarette on my way back home and not worry about somebody rolling up on me and locking me up? What's your thoughts, panel? Come on, Brother Rob. I ain't heard from you in a minute, Brother Rob. Talk to me.
Well, I didn't want to be too eager to jump in on this subject because most of my family knows where I stand with it. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I always go back to the end root cause of everything. The man ain't figured out how to tax that thing and make money off of it. It's the one thing that come out the ground that really anybody can grow or do themselves that he can't really control. So that's the holdup. I mean, all the science points towards how it's safer than alcohol, it's safer than a lot of stuff we got out here that we do on a daily basis. And it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it has its medical uses, but it also has its vice uses. You know, as humans, we just got to identify that we got our vices. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, those vices just need to... Yeah, own that shit. The vices got to be classified correctly, and that's the problem with marijuana. It's not classified correctly. Now, I think to get it to where we need it to be, we're going to have to take some compromises. You know, in your narrative, you said, you know, could I go to the store and, you know, and purchase? You know, put the same safeguards around that you do everything else, cigarettes or alcohol. You know, 18 or 21 to buy it, you know, only should be sold at certain places, you know, that aren't frequented by kids. You know, it should definitely be something almost where you see cigarettes at this point. Most people, you're not lighting up in your job. They got a designated shameful corner that they send you to light up, you know, that everybody knows that's where the smokers go every 15 minutes. It should kind of be the same thing with weed, you know, maybe not necessarily out in the streets unless you're being discreet with it. It should be something that's done in your household, you know what I mean? We should
prepare. All right. G1, you are our next newest caller. What's your feelings on the matter? Should it just be decriminalized?
He took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
I don't think you should be able to walk down the street doing it, but I think maybe in your home, in your private space, because they're medically, doctors are getting people hooked on things worse than marijuana.
Now, when you say in your private space, you got to be careful with that because Brother Messenger is on, and he teaches us that all the space is ours. I'm just saying. So we have to watch what we say. Cause I can see Brother Messenger right now ready to jump in. Like, true. But all this is ours.
Okay, well, I'm going to say where you pay rent at.
All right.
How about
limited,
that?
Your limited secular. Okay, your cubicles. Okay.
Yeah, where you pay rent at.
Baby sis, what's your feelings on the matter?
Well, I mean, in all actuality, over half of American people smoke weed anyway, to be honest, truth be told. You know, and that's where that comes from, a poll that they've taken. Okay, so that's what they're saying. Polls show that most American people, support the legalization, I should say, of weed. Right. So, and then they're saying, right, so over half American people smoke weed. So with that being said, the government already knows that prohibition just doesn't work. They already know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. Why they're moving toward decriminalizing it, because they know it doesn't work.
Well, now, they were moving in that direction, too, and as always, on the attic, because I am a service member. There'll be no bad comments about my commander-in-chief. So we're going to pick on the vice president because he's not in charge of me. Until Mr. Pence came in, we're going to pick on the vice president because he's not in charge. With the jokers that we have in the White House right now, they're trying to come at that on a whole different level. So you right now, they're trying to bring the jail time back for weed after Obama addressed that. And again, I don't even know if they're really against the policy. I do know they're against whatever Obama put his name on. You know what
there
I'm saying?
That's more what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And they're buying time to figure out how to get in on it. Just like you seen Boehner jump in there and get in on the investment companies that are getting into the weed market and all that. They need a little bit more time.
Yeah. And let me say this.
I thought some states had already passed it for medicinal and some recreational uses.
No, what happened let me speak on that for a minute. We have, it can be legal in the state, Colorado, California, but on all levels of federal government, that's illegal. And let me tell you something. I just came out of a conversation yesterday we had in class. And get a hold of this, and this is for real. We talk about the duality of bullshit, and I don't want to call it a law, the duality of bullshit in our nation. First thing, marijuana is considered what we call a class one drug. Do you know why it's a class one drug? Class one drugs become felony. And what happened is President Nixon, back in the days in the 60s, declared marijuana a class one drug because that was the new level or the new plan of how I'm going to incarcerate the whole black community. That was the new Hitler trying to work on the Jewish people. That was a manner in which Nixon set in place. Because here's the deal with that. Once I make it a class one drug, now you get a felony. Now you got to stay on top of this because you got to remember the overall plan is to never let that person of color have anything in this nation. So we make it a class one. Now you go to jail. When you go to jail for a felony, most people get their voting rights taken away from them. So I can send you to jail on a felony one, class one for weed. You go do your time. And when you come back out, I just silence you for the rest of your life because you're a felon. And in most states, you can't vote. See, people miss that whole picture. But nonetheless, we talk about a class one drug, and the states that have legalized this marijuana for medical, for recreation, are bringing in the millions of dollars in tax revenue. Now, Uncle Sugar can't get all the revenue. I'm just saying, I think that's what, like you say, Brother Rob, we don't know how we could just tax it. But again, it was put as a class one felony so I could incarcerate a group of people known as the black man. And then it became to the point where everybody started jumping on board with it. But again, I say, so you could actually have it legal in the state. You could be in California or let's say Colorado, because I'm in California and I don't want nobody to think I'm doing parallel to myself. But anyway, you could be in Colorado and have drugs, and a federal agent can bust you in Colorado because even though it's legal in the state, it's illegal on the federal level. Now, if that ain't some duality of bullshit, somebody tell me what is.
Well,
hey,
say,
you know what?
My thoughts on... Oh,
go ahead, baby boy. I was reaching out to you.
I was going
to
say, my thoughts on that is, and just let me throw this disclaimer out there, I'm not advocating that you smoke weed, and or now I'm confessing to smoking weed, but I know people that do smoke weed. And I say all that to say this.
Right,
there was a movie
right.
out. I think in the 30s or 20s, there was a movie out called Reefer Madness. If you watch that, you'll understand why the government did what they did. Like Brother Ross said, they can't put they can't control it, so therefore they made it a felony to get caught with it or to have it. So they labeled that just like having heroin, which back in the day it was heroin. Now, because white people, and once again, I'm not a racist, but I might say racist things from time to time. White people started doing heroin, and now it's an epidemic problem.
Epidemic. Mm-hmm. Yes. When it affects the right group of people, then you can tell.
When it hits home, like Brother Malcolm said, when the chickens come home to roost, then they got a problem.
When it starts affecting the right group, and I'm being very cynical, you can tell when the government is about to get involved, because we go from phrases like them niggas over there shooting drugs to epidemic. When they start putting words, coin phrases on it, that means the right people have now been exposed to this, and we're going to address this. So we're giving a name, and now we can put government dollars on it. But just remember, most of what we go through, it was all set up for the demise of a race of people known as the black man. Hey, Brother Messenger, talk to me about how you feel about these. Should this be legal, Brother Messenger? And hold on, we've got another caller joining us. Is that Nurse Carmen?
Hello, good evening, everyone. Yes, it is.
Hello.
Hello, my sister.
Good evening.
Hello, how are
you? Go ahead, Brother Messenger.
Good.
Yeah, I do believe it should be legal because it is something that is natural. No additives or anything to that nature has been added. And I won't get into my message or anything, but this is something that was placed here and was here already before we even got here. And we're the ones, as everyone has said so eloquently so far, is just the fact that it's just a man trying to control things once again. And it has so many different uses that is for our good. But because they've begun to make us think that it's so bad, we've got people that could use it that it would actually help. But because of the label that they've placed on it, some people end up, they'd rather do the chemotherapy than to do that. Because once again, we're always listening to what someone else has told us instead of experiencing and knowing things for ourselves. We've got to understand it's about us. And I say us, I mean each person to themselves. And you can't just rely on what other people tell you. Even though those people might mean you well, it still doesn't make it right.
Well, we know when we say those people and if those people that we speak about involves this small body called the United States government, well, let me tell you something, all right? If you're a black person, you need to really, really always understand it was never meant for good for you. I don't really care what the program was. That seems to be the motif of our government, and I say that, and that's factual. It was never meant for good for you, but what happens is when the wrong group of people started messing with what was set up for your demise, now we have to come back in and attempt to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, some of it's generational, too. You know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the change you're seeing and everything, a lot of the past generations, one, you had bigger fish to fry, racism, all types of stuff, wars and stuff like that. And now with this younger generation, we always talk about this at work, where with the younger, they idolize a lot of black people. So it's hard as hell for them to be racist. You know, you talk to those people and ask them who's their kid's favorite. Ask them who their favorite basketball player. 9 times out of 10, he's black. Ask them who their favorite football player. 9 times out of 10, he's black. Ask them what music is in the iPod. 9 times out of 10, 90% of it is black. So going forward, you know, that's where I think that cycle is going to stop. Like you said, you know, everything that, you know, comes in America, they figured out a way to keep us from it or on how to capitalize off of us from it. you know, with the weed thing, you're right. They jumped on it based off of, all right, we can, you know, found a way, another way that we can jail these black people, like you said, remove them from the voting power, remove them from being able to join the workforce and acquire income, you know what I mean? But going forward, that narrative and that way of thinking is going to go out the door, you know what I mean? Because, one, we making progress, and, two, they ain't do a good enough job of instilling that same hatred and that same racism in their kids.
No, and that is so true.
I can even say this as soon as they remove Jeff Beauregard Sessions, you're going to see it become more prevalent everywhere. But Sessions, as the Attorney General, is the, as they would say, last of the Mohegans. He holding on to his one belief that that is just so wrong, regardless to whatever it is that people say about it. In his mind, it's wrong. And so because he's in charge of the justice system, he will not allow it to be. But once he is gone, just as Brother Ross said, once he is gone, because so many more people are opening up and they're seeing things from a different perspective now, you'll see that that's going to, it's going to spread like wildfire, one, because they see the money that they can make in it. The last Speaker of the House is now a major stockholder in a marijuana company. The Speaker of the House. So, you know, that's just to let you know where it's headed. As soon as you can get like four more of them old 89-year-old white men out of Congress, you're going to see this state start to evolve. The United States start to evolve. Now, don't think we ain't on mountaintop just yet, but you're going to see some things change.
And you know what?
I know they're also trying to work on trying to expunge some of those prior marijuana convictions as well.
Well,
Obama got that off real good, and then Trump turned it back. But, you know, going forward, and a lot of it, too, is hypocritical. You know, it's a state thing and it's a federal thing, so you got to work on it on both levels. You know, some of those southern states are going to be late to the money, you know, because they want to definitely keep their foot on the black people. So, you know, they're going to try to figure out any way they can to keep that type of stuff in place. But as more and more states start balancing their budgets off of the weed, then it's just going to be irresistible. Like, everybody's going to have to get down. And then federally, they're just going to have to, you know, join in, because this is going to be, what's the point of having it if every state is legal?
Yeah. But, and you know, it's so funny. Again, we talk about the duality of bullshit, because if the state, the federal government are supposed to be overseers of the state government, but your state government, that's the, and let me tell you, that's really, and I know I'm about to jump off the weed subject for a minute, but that's the real area of politics most folks should put 99% of their attention to, not that federal level, your state government, because what happens at the federal level most of the time don't affect you directly, but that's them state local laws and governing, that's where we really need to start to get more involved in the political process, because that's where the changes are going to come that you're going to see in your everyday life faster. But I'm in California, and it was so funny because the other night I was out at my favorite In-N-Out hamburger spot, and I see two guys walking down the street, and we're all in military uniform, to put the story correctly. We're also two guys walking down the street, and they smoking some weed. And let me tell you, I see this cop roll up. Yo, I'm sorry. The little 14-year-old Kenny Hyde from Patterson, New Jersey came out of me, because I said to myself, they getting ready to roll up and throw both of these guys a beating. The cop rolled by, put his window down, hit his horn twice, and threw up the peace sign and just kept rolling. I was like, wow. He threw up the peace sign and just kept running and rolling. I'm sitting here, and then I remembered, okay, I'm in Cali. I guess that kind of shit is legal out here. That was just crazy. But my thing is, they've done all the research. Now, don't get me wrong. we could sit there and have an argument or a discussion based on the medical properties. But I just say remove whatever conversation it is in one or two things, either make it legal or not. And I think that the will of the people, and I like how you broke down that new, this new wave demographic coming in, what are the Generation Xers, the folks that most of that generation is mixed. And you know, that's going to be the catalyst in this nation to make us try to get right, because we're way from right. And as long as we're doing things to still, as long as we're not really trying to address an opioid problem, a cannabis problem, but we're still trying to figure out how to compress a whole nation of people, we are never going to go forward. So I say yes, even though now, again, me being in the military, the topic came up in a conversation we had in conference this week. Well, should the military soldiers be allowed to use it? Well, my thing to that was talk to the soldiers who came back from Vietnam. Now, don't get me wrong. America did a piss poor job of taking care of that whole generation of folks, but they fought high. You don't hear about a whole lot of people shooting themselves. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I think that the military, I don't. You didn't hear about, oh, I would only have smoked some Vietnamese weed. Yeah. But you know what I do want to say? What was that movie you mentioned, Baby Ruff? How High?
Reefer Madness.
No. Reefer Madness.
Oh, the other one, How High.
No, not How High. Reefer Madness. My friend had me watch that movie. And again, it was some bugged out stuff, but it was a message in there. And you think about when that movie was made till today, and the mindset is still the same.
And you got to remember, back then, if you was to watch that movie, you'd think that that's how marijuana had you acting.
Yeah.
But they had to demonize it so bad to make it seem bad in order to accomplish their goal.
And again, and if you and again, we got to always look at the subliminals in this thing, that in this place that we call North America. How many? If you remember the movie, do you remember how many African Americans was in the cast?
That was like 1930s. None.
Because the message was, because the message was, even though that was a great movie, that we're not talking to Black America. You keep on doing that. That's what we want for you. But good old the other side of America, this movie is for you because we care about you. And again, that's just more that duality bullshit of this nation that we call North America. And let me say one last thing, because sometimes I go hard on the nation. There's nowhere else I'd rather be.
The best country in the world.
I've been around the world. I've been to a lot of places we can't even talk about on this radio. But let it be known, don't you ever think that because I talk about my home that I want to go somewhere else. Nah, I just want it to be right here. So don't you be like, nah, I'm not getting no movement going back to nowhere. I'm going back to Paterson, New Jersey. That's what I'm going back to. Yeah, so again, so I think we all kind of in agreement, and I think the nation is in agreement that it's time to decriminalize and just let that be. The facts show, again, they want to always bring crime and things of this nature in there, but the fact of the matter is it's a good tax revenue, but our government is so wicked and crooked because they can't steal the tax dollars yet. We're going to keep on making it a class one felon, and we're going to treat it as such. So the attic is in agreement. Hold on. Okay, so we're going to go down and take it. Here's a vote of our peers. Brother Messenger, yes or no on criminalization, decriminalization?
I'm yes.
We got a yes. Baby boy, decriminalization.
That's a yes.
Brother Rod, should we decriminalize?
Yes, sir.
G1, should we decriminalize?
I have a friend that says yes.
Nurse Carmen, from a medical perspective,
yes.
And me being the messenger host of the podcast, I think we're just going to make that a unanimous yes.
Yes.
Tonight, when me and my commander in chief are tweeting each other, I'm going to see if I can tweet into him and tell him, come on, chief, ease up. Come on, then. But you know what? That just made me think about something that's just so funny to me. I do Twitter. It is like so weird to get a tweet from the commander in chief and then see it on the news the next day. I'm sorry. They talk about that is so wild. And if anybody else do Twitter and you get them tweets from Donald Trump, it is not very, I mean, it has happened twice that he tweeted something tonight and it didn't break to the news in the morning. I'm thinking, you know what? I must really be in the know. Yeah, because he loved that Twitter, man. And what they try to do is now they want to say, well, he can have his wait a minute, I forgot. I'm still in the military, and all conversation about my commander in chief will not be had on my podcast. So watch how we change gears. Hey, anybody remember Colin Kaepernick? Young football player who didn't want to stand for the national anthem because he was protesting police brutality. Listen, you talk about putting a black wall on somebody. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like Colin Kaepernick was really no outstanding quarterback, and everybody was knocking down doors to get to him. He was mediocre, but he's still good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL based on what's out there today. But once he took that stand, when the NFL blackballed him, the point I'm trying to make is, let me show you how when old money gets together and decides to do a thing, whatever that thing is, you can't get away from it. They got together and they said, don't nobody hire this joker. And he's still out there trying to find a job. And wherever he go, I'm willing to bet you before they negotiate a salary, they're going to tell his black ass you won't have to stand up for that anthem. But, and I only drew that up to say, what's that boy named Josh Rosen? Is that his name? Just got drafted the other day. On Twitter, stay on the internet, throwing down the nigger word. His favorite thing, if it ain't white, it ain't right. Now, you talk about how a color of privilege is going to benefit somebody. You watch and see the difference there. Kaepernick wouldn't stand, and they blackballed him. Now, you've got this other gentleman here, and I don't know him. I just read about him, so I don't really know what the context was, but I do know that nothing about him tells me that he should have such free use of the nigger word, though. I don't think he meets that criteria.
That gets into a bigger conversation, but I feel you.
Well, who authorizes nigger use pass is what I really want to say. Now, not only he got a pass and he authorized, then that is what it is. But I was just trying to draw a correlation between the brother taking a knee and somebody else is blasting racial slurs. But in America, the racial slurs are going to be all right and accepted. But your silent protest was wrong. Oh, my goodness gracious. Again, bullshit of our nation. What's your feelings on that? Kaepernick what? Was wrong?
No,
not at all.
At the end of the day, with Kaepernick, the biggest thing with him is, you know, he's smart. So, you know, even though he's out of a job, he's still a millionaire. He's putting away a lot of the money he did get in his contract.
At the same time,
a lot of people forget, because they're keeping it out the media, that he got a nice little healthy lawsuit going against the NFL. That's the thing. See, they used to play with us before. But now you can't really play. We figured out how to play the game too well. You gave us way too much time to figure out and too much leniency how to figure out how to play y'all game. And again, not all of y'all are like that anymore. Not, you know, it's some 32 owners, but you got millions and millions of them that are sick of the, of being labeled, you know, colonist and racist and, you know, the majority people and all that. They actually want, you know, they want to get out of that limelight. So, you know, with the kid, I don't know all the details to it, but I think a lot of those tweets and stuff were when he was younger. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, black people also, we got to make a decision, you know, and I think our younger generation kind of looks at it differently, where we've almost monetized the N-word, you know, and you got to kind of think about it like this. As much as we put it in our music and our movies and anything that we do, we almost got to make a conscious decision on whether or not we're willing to lend that word out. You know, we're going to lend it back to the white people.
Hey,
y'all invented it. We stole it.
We're going to lend it back, but with a new meaning now. Same word, but we put a new meaning to it now.
Whole new twist. And all we got to do is look at it as our change. We went from y'all wanting to keep us down to wanting to be like us, even though you always wanted to in the beginning anyway. But now it's so bad that we even got you wanting to say our words that y'all used to use to ridicule us. Think about how powerful that is. And that's the mindset change, though, as black people we got to have, though. Get off that, you know, crucifying. That's just like the owner, the NBA owner that got caught saying, I don't necessarily think it was the best move to make him lose his job. You know what I mean? Y'all should have went for something else. Make him sell a minority percentage to 16 black companies. You know, something that really gives us another leg up.
Yeah. So again,
what you're saying is we give that word too much power because there's some white niggers, is what you're trying to say. Is that what you mean? So we're giving that word too much power instead start hitting them where it hurts in their pocket?
I don't think it's too much power. No, it's not that we're giving that word too much power. We're giving that word, I think, a new meaning.
Well, not too much power, but I'm saying instead of, because to me, there are some white niggers. You know, it's not necessarily just black niggers. That word is, it doesn't just apply to us.
Yeah, and it's all about
not necessarily just us.
Right.
It's all, like you said, it's your mindset. It's your mindset.
Yeah.
See, we take it personal because of the way it was used back in the day.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm
saying, a lot of black people that ain't never picked no cotton, you know what I'm saying? They just, I'm not going to say jumping on the bandwagon, but because in our race, that's bad to us as black people, even though some of them didn't experience that. But the thing with that is a white man calling a black man a nigger, that's offensive and grounds to kick his ass.
And it's just like what I said about the about white people not transferring the same amount of racism. You know, you got to take that ownership, too, as black people. I don't think generations before us put an onus as much on it to teach us that that word was just oh so bad. You know what I'm saying? Because it just, even back in the day, we was calling each other nigga. You know what I'm saying? That word ain't even come about now. You know, that's been around for a long time. And so, like you said, as generation of distance between cotton pickers happened, it just didn't get transferred the same, you know, with the same amount of time.
Right. At one generation or two, we slipped in there and said, you know what, since we're going to use this word, you know what, let's make this a universal word. It could be a noun, a verb, you know what I'm saying? Because, again,
so it's evolving, so to speak.
It really
not
is.
To
and
us, it might not be. So to this generation, it doesn't necessarily mean what it might have meant to our great-great-grandparents or whatever.
Right now, today, if somebody said, yo, them niggas is over there balling, in no way do you think that that's all black people when you say that. It's just them niggas, man, them people, them whatever. So when we say, we throw the nigga word around, I mean, again, it's very rare. And I'm not taking credit or pat myself on the back, but when I'm talking, I gratuitously use that word. I like using the word. And I'm not on the Oprah thing, let's eradicate the word. Now, I ain't with that. I like that word. Because to me, and honestly speaking, I know some white niggas. If you raised with me in Paterson, New Jersey, we came up through school 20, school 13, or you raised in any black neighborhood, if you growing up and most of your friends are black, you going to say that word because they going to say that word. Now, if I'm hanging out with brothers all day, now, again, we'll have to have a black caucus meeting or we just going to go ahead and give the universal pass because sometimes the word nigger can turn into nigger. And then it's going to be some drama behind that. I'm just saying. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's I got no problem with the word or the use of the word in the right context from anybody, really. And that's so true. Brother Messenger.
I mean, see, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When you're around your kind, you use that as a term, you know, a term of endearment, stuff like that. It's just like going to that job. You know, and when you ain't at work, you are that nigga. But when you go to work, you're that black man. You know what I'm saying? Your voice changed. Your whole personality changed. You know what I'm saying? You talking down like your drawers are stuck up your head. Oh, yes, yeah, sure. Anything you want, you know. You know,
no,
like
man.
That. You got
that's
your
clown. Clown. That ain't no nigga. That's a clown, man. If you, well, you know what? I back in the day, you had to put that cloak of bullshit on. But let me tell you something.
Yeah,
if you're still doing
still
that
do.
Today, then you're a clown, man. I'm sorry.
You still do. You still do.
But you shouldn't
have to.
I know
a couple of ratchet females that answer phones.
You shouldn't have
and they
to.
Answer with and they so-called white voice.
Yeah,
but
well, you know,
them at their home.
Now, growing up, we all used to play the game. We had a little white voice. But what happened was we played a game.
Is it white voice or is it professional voice? Which one?
Professional.
See,
exactly. Let's say professional.
There we go. Now, wait a hold on. So you mean to tell me, now, wait, see, we're going to have to, I got to hit that for a minute. When we say white voice of professor, so if you call my business and I answer the phone with like, yo, what's up? Yo, this is Leon's exterminating. What can I do for you? Is that not professional? Do I have to answer
the
phone?
See, it all depends on who you're talking to.
Leon's exterminating. No, I don't have to do that. That's my business. And if I don't talk like that all the time, I should not have to change my vernacular to do business with you.
But because they said it was wrong, it ain't right.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Yes, you can do that. And
no,
you know
you
what?
Can do
it all depends on who your audience is.
No, if it's your business, you can do whatever you want to. But at the end of the day, you're making a business decision. That's just
right.
Like,
exactly.
You know,
it all depends on who your audience is.
Yeah. You saying, yo, might go for some of your audience the same way. You know, a Spanish business will go for people who speak Spanish. But nine times out of ten, if you speak English and all they do is speak Spanish, you're not gonna shop with them. So if you speak in nigga Ebonics, I'm not gonna shop with you. I don't know if you're fixing my oil or you're giving me Kool Aid. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So it all depends on who your audience is, who you catering
to.
That's how you're gonna speak to them.
Well, watch this though. Mm-hmm. If and listen to this very carefully. If you have a business that they need, then it's no need. I don't have any other large businesses yet, but I'll tell you, as I start to get back into that area, I'm not going colonial, man. However you talk, that's how you talk. Now, my thing is this right here. If I got to change from who I am to do business with you, now, again, if you want to be successful, because they do own most of the stuff, so we have to change some things to deal with that, but my thing is, I'm gonna be me, and being me, I'm gonna still find the niche that I can work in without having to change being me. That's what I mean. So I understand now. If I want to go get a contract from NASA, I'm just using that as a big organization. Yeah, my conversation might be different when I go there, but because I don't want to change who I am, then I won't seek that contract. And I'll seek other revenue sources. That's just me.
Well, you're going to talk the talk to get what you want.
Well, no, I'm going to
talk. It's all a game.
It is a game. You're right. But we can change the game. We don't have to always be the ones who change.
That's the thing. We don't have to, but we are. But we are.
Well, we are because that's what we try.
They're not the ones calling the shot. It's
yeah, that's
like
true.
If you call Tom's or Bob's marijuana distribution, as opposed to calling Tyrone, we got weed. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to go with Tyrone, we got weed. Because he talking that kind of talk that, you know, you want to hear.
I think I follow you.
When you're going for that interview, you got to put on the suit and tie. You got to look the part. Then once you get the job, you can come to work with them braids in your hair and let that down and see how that rolls. Yeah, but it's all about getting it first. You got to get it. So you got to play that. It's like acting. You got to play that character, that role.
Go
ahead, brother.
Now, I was just going to say, amongst my generation, we actually consider it a skill set. So almost like on a video game or a baseball card where we rank your strength and, you know, other attributes. It's called code switching. How well do you code switch? And that can literally help you determine how far you will go in the corporate world. Is his code switch on 99, then he's gonna travel up that ladder and be able to assimilate to the game the best.
I agree.
You know what I mean? LeBron's code switching capabilities are on a million. That's why his business acumen is that much better than every other NBA player. It's a skill set. You got to change your mindset about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree.
And
you just have to
second.
Do it. You got to be able to play. You have to be able to do that. You do.
Because we are on the attic, and one topic is never our motif. Does anybody know how the Cavaliers are doing? Is it done?
Let's see.
I'm sorry to hear you. What'd you say?
The Cavaliers.
I'm pretty sure it is. Ain't Adam Silver, ain't he reffing the game tonight? So LeBron going.
Score the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavaliers are behind the Pacers, 79-63, with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter in game 6.
This is
under LA one. Yeah, no, third quarter, 79-63. It's so funny. I was laughing the other day. If you are in this nation and you have a phone and you still are ignorant to almost everything going around you, shame on you. Shame on you. Because with these smartphones we have, nothing should be more than a question away from you. Now, you may not get that deep understanding, but you can stay up on anything by just asking your phone. So while I was just concerned about King James, I just asked my phone, and the phone said, no worries, because he getting ready to go in the fourth quarter and send Indiana home.
Yeah, the fix Adam Silver, commissioner.
Huh?
He going to see to it. I said Adam Silver, the commissioner, he going to see to it. The fix is in.
No, man, ain't no fix, man. Do you think you could fix an NBA game like that? Do y'all think that's fixable?
Did you see that last game where he goaltend? Hello? And they didn't call?
Oh, get out of here. Listen, let me say something. One bad call in a game don't fix a game, man. Hey, panel, again, we switching gears. Do you think you can fix a pro basketball game?
Sure you can. They've done it before.
He's just talking.
No, I mean, they did it before. They fixed the baseball game.
Do you think that the commissioner can walk into...
That's been his theory for a long time, that they fixed up on who they want to win. That's been his theory. I don't know why, but...
You think about
he's
this.
Been like
when
this
you out there... When you out there in the playground,
I don't mean literally the commissioner, but with them refs, you don't mean to tell me certain calls get called and other calls don't get called. Like I
now,
said,
again,
that was a goaltender he did.
They
for sure.
Are you aware that the ref Cleveland's down by like 15 points?
But Cleveland's
down
84-66. End of the game, neither.
Huh?
If they would have scored that layup, they would have only been up by two. So LeBron coming down and hitting the three still could have won the game.
Yeah.
Who's to say
so
that
again,
still would have played out like
people
that?
Get,
who's to say that still would have played out
know.
Like that?
You don't know. That's why you can't say that the refs have
full control of them. Do they give favorable calls and stuff and give favoritism to a certain player? Definitely. Undoubtedly. But does that also
But you mean to tell me y'all don't think refs bet on games too? It's been proven.
For sure.
So who controls the game? The ref.
No, the ref don't. The ref calls the game. And again, there is no game where the ref makes 100% correct calls. Come on. If you watch every single basketball game.
If you make the call at the right time, that can swing momentum.
But them niggas is human, man. I mean, you know, they ain't out there throwing no game. If they wanted to make the call, watch this. I'm going to say this and I'm going to duck. If they wanted to make the call, maybe some of the fantastic dunks that Michael Jordan did never happened because four steps are never allowed. But anyway, I'm getting on that.
Now you're touching on. I know where you're at, but you're going on my Knicks now, and I don't like that.
Nah, okay. But you know what? I still hope that.
Get him, bro.
No, look ahead. I tell everybody, if God want to do me a favor, he would bring and we just having fun, man. He'd bring LeBron James to the Knicks, man, because that means I could be back with my home team with the best player in the world, man. It don't get any better.
No. We don't want him.
Hey, watch your mouth. Don't make me cut your microphone off, baby, bro. Hey.
Yeah, we don't want him because the minute he come to us, he's going to lose bro. His skills.
Huh? Baby, bro, can you speak for yourself?
We speaking for the front office. I knew he was going here for the front office right now.
I'm tired of Knicks always getting somebody late in the game. He LeBron now, but the minute he comes to the Knicks, guess what?
You know what?
Lose them skills.
That's what you think of that. As soon as he crossed the bridge, skills gone. Boom.
Yep.
he like moonstruck. Man, you know what, baby, bro? Don't you tell nobody else that you don't want LeBron to come to New York because he might hear that. Listen, LeBron might be listening to my podcast and not feel welcome in New York and not come. So don't you repeat them words no more, right? We keep that in, as Michael Corleone say, we're going to keep that in the family, okay?
I'm going to get KD or James Harden.
Oh, man. Oh. Listen, Cass, I'm going to let you get the last bite of this right here, baby, bro, because I'm going to let you calm down a little bit talking about we don't want LeBron James. Hey, Nurse Carmen, let's say goodnight. We got 7 minutes. Say, give us your goodnight.
Well, I say goodnight, good people. Love you guys.
All right. G1, where you at, G1?
I'm here.
Say something to me, G1.
I thought she went to sleep.
I did too, but watch this.
I stayed up. It was an early show.
Watch this. But we know G1, so nobody was surprised by that. Come on, G1. Say goodnight to the people. Say goodnight to the people.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Baby, sister,
glad you
were
able to stay up with us.
Yeah, baby, sis, give us your closing. I'm sorry, brother. Hold on. Brother Rob, give us your closing. Rod, you with me?
Oh, that's me?
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, I'm here.
give us your closing.
Hey, look, they already legalized it in the state I live in. So,
all right, so he said.
But anyway.
So you good? You got your guns. Look, you got your guns, and you good, right? You got everything. You said.
Yep, I'm good to go. I got my guns.
So that's where I'm relocating to.
Come on, boy.
Oh, that's me. Did you do your pregame warm up?
Of course.
Right.
That's how I was speaking all that philosophical to y'all.
I was in myself. Yeah.
In my bag.
All right, so that was it. We in the attic, baby. Ain't no bad in the attic. Everything is what it is. That's why we on the radio and not on TV yet. when we get big enough to have our own little attic TV show, then they'll provide a green room. Then we still gonna be off. Baby sis, give me your good nights.
Always love to get together with the family and, you know, kick it and throw our views back and forth. Always a pleasure, and I love everyone. Everybody have a good night.
I just want to thank everybody that called in today, and I'm hoping that we hear more from the family, we keep this going, and that we will get some other topics that are going to get some of the women in the family going so that they can take over and set us straight. It ain't always got to be about us. Let them have they moment of putting us in check, you know? So
what's that? What's that my man say? Was that a message? Baby, bro. Talk to me, baby, bro. And don't you stop with the LeBron James. Let that be, man, all right?
All right. I'm just saying that, you know, God made this planet for us, the peoples, and we need to take this planet back and stop letting these so-called presidents, a.k.a. cult leaders, dictate to us how we're going to live.
Wow.
You want to open that for me on that?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, bro. Hold on, man. You gotta tell me something different, man, because I'm not used to ending the show with baby boy talking logical sense. Give me some of that.
Well, how about that? He threw me, too. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes and goes.
It comes and goes.
Oh, it's gone. It's gone. I'm starting to go from me, Ted. So we can take this planet back. If everybody listening sends in $1, we can do this. Send it to me.
Not the radio
I need
show.
That money.
Just send that shit to me. Hey, listen, Kenny Hyde with Hyde's and Hyde podcast again. My family podcast called The Attic, where we get together and we just get together. We talked about decriminalizing cannabis. I think it's overwhelmingly from a podcast membership that, yes, we should just go ahead and decriminalize it and let it be. And we should, and again, I understand maybe treating it like you do alcohol, age limit, et cetera, to whoever to purchase it. But if you want to grow your own, smoke your own, I don't see anything wrong with that, whether it's for medical or recreation. I think our government needs to stop playing games with its people, illegal on one level, legal on another level. We need to stop playing with the folks. We need to tell the folks it is or it isn't. And when you fully, fully understand why marijuana is even considered a class one or schedule one drug, it makes it too easy to say that's some bullshit. Again, you try to trap some brothers up so you can lock them up, and now it got spread it out bigger than that. You knew, the government knew from the beginning that marijuana was never a class one or schedule one drug. So let's stop playing games and get with the nation, and let's make this change. I do like the way the demographics of the nations is swinging, because I can see one day that it may be equal or real close to being equal. Listen, I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Again, we usually go on Wednesday nights at 11 because we're in different time zones. We were able to get a 9 o'clock show in tonight. But support the podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us. Please help me grow the business, as we always try to bring interesting conversation to you. So from the cast of The Attic, which is, again, a family cast radio podcast, I want everybody to have a wonderful evening, and nothing but love coming from this microphone. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Love you guys.
Good night. Good night, John boy. Who remembers the Waltons?
Good night, Rob.
Good night.
Love you guys.
Peace out.
Without W-E.
I'm out, y'all. Good night.